Hey everyone, Joe here from Modern Heathen Man. In our search as heathens, we're always looking for new people to connect with, to get information from, to share in our path as we're walking down the path. And a lot of times we look online and we look for different places to go. And we find a few places here and there that are good and stuff like that. But if we're looking for a really great place, can I recommend a place that I've found? I have found a really wonderful home in a place called Awaken the North. Awaken the North was recently founded maybe about 2 years ago. It's an online community. They also have a Discord, a Facebook page, and a website. You're able to get on there. You're able to go ahead and talk to different people about different things, ask your questions, connect with other heathens, and really grow there. They have a bunch of different things for specific styles of heathenry, a bunch of different things for different people in the community, and wherever you find yourself, you will find a home at Awaken the North. I personally am a member of Awaken the North, and I do want to recommend them again to you. It is a great place for you to grow, for you to get all the information you could possibly want. And I know a lot of us have been jaded by a lot of these online places, but this place, I'm telling you, is different. It is one of the best places I've gone. I know the guy who runs it. It's a really good thing. They have a board of directors that are really good. All they want to do is see you succeed as a heathen. There's none of this other political stuff that goes along with it. It is just a fun place to be a heathen. If you're looking for a place, I do recommend them once again and say you should try Awaken the North. Look them up on Facebook, look them up online, or find them on Discord. Hey, I want to thank you guys. Have a great day. Hey everyone, thank you for joining me today for the next episode of Modern Heathen Man. I'm here today with Kelly.
Hello.
And myself, and we're going to make a discussion on a question I got on the Modern Heathen Man Facebook group. Really good question, actually. On a side note, though, Modern Heathen Man, as of June, will begin its fourth year of running.
Wow. It's been 4 years.
I can't actually. It's been a long time, but I'm enjoying it either way. So I'm pretty happy with that. And I'm looking forward to it. So June will be our birthday and we'll be 4 years old. Yay.
So we'll be ready for preschool.
Ready for preschool. That's it. So without any further ado, let's begin Modern Heathen Man. So grab yourself a cup, grab yourself a horn, grab yourself a mug, grab some coffee, mead, beer, or anything you'd like that's a soothing drink for you. Sit back, relax, and let's enjoy some Modern Heathen Man. So one of the things I look forward to all the time is I enjoy answering questions from people. I enjoy getting them and giving in-depth, concise answers to specific questions, but not really lengthy things. I'm not going to like write a book on a question you ask me. I'll give you a short answer, but it'll be pretty deep and it'll be pretty pinpointed to the question you ask. So the other day I got this question. Go ahead, Kelly.
Well, the question is, how is the morality of one's deeds weighed within the context of the heathen faith? What does the heathen perspective of good versus evil look like?
So in looking at that question, it took me a few hours to build the answer that I wanted to come up with. The answer was short, the answer was sweet, and to the point, but very deep. So we'd read the answer?
Sure. The answer was, for most ancient religions, the focus is on order versus chaos, not good versus evil. Order is what make you last through a winter or survive a blood feud or bring in bumper crops. Stability, loyalty, and security within your community. Chaos is harsh weather, accidents, wild animals, raiders, and neighbors waging wars, or any fate or circumstance that is not within your control. The gods, the spirits, and the ancestors, and all the other aspects and deities will help or hinder you in your conflict. They will not make moral judgment. Killing a man is not good nor evil, but rather honorable or dishonorable, and in that you carry your frith. We must all determine each of our paths and how we want our frith or oath to be taken by others. In doing or staying within order, we make our way through Midgard and return as a welcomed member of the kin.
So I want to dive into that a little bit, because there's a couple of pieces in there which, if you're a new heathen, you may not even begin to understand or even comprehend what I'm talking about, you know, because most religions today are based on good versus evil, right versus wrong, appropriate versus inappropriate, where ours is more of understanding how things work within our universe, you know, chaos versus order. Okay? So we all know there's chaotic things within our universe. We all understand how that works. There's things that are well beyond our control, things we cannot even begin to fathom having control over.
Things like the weather.
Right. Animals, and I was going to say the weather.
Nature.
Yeah. And one of the things that comes to mind is, I remember this, I'm sorry I'm laughing because it's so funny. I remember a few years ago when Hurricane Zeta was going to hit the Gulf Coast, there was a woman that was actually on TV and on TikTok and everywhere, and she had brought holy water with her, and she was splashing the holy water into the ocean and yelling, "I rebuke you in the name of Satan. You will not come on this land. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ." Sorry. "And I repel you. You won't come on this land," and all this stuff. "Satan will not prevail here," and all this stuff. And in my mind, being a heathen, I'm thinking, you have no control over that, no matter what. You have no control over where it's going to hit, how it's going to hit, or when it's going to hit. And to be honest with you, she was on Mexico Beach.
Yeah.
And that was the hardest hit place for the hurricane. And I mean, I understand having faith, and I understand, you know, believing in what you believe in. But there's places where, I don't want to say it this way, but faith has no prevalence. I mean, like, when you're talking like weather and natural disasters and stuff like that, I'm sorry. You know what I mean?
There's a difference in asking for protection
from, right,
for your family, for your home, for, you know, the least amount of loss of life and property.
Right, right.
Then going out into the ocean
and rebuking a hurricane
and telling it not to come. There's right, a big difference in those two things. And, you know, I think in our path and our faith, we kind of know the difference, or hope to know the difference, and we can ask the gods to say, "Hey,
right. Please
spare us," but we're right. Not going to ask them to take it totally away, because it's the way the world works.
Right. One of the things that drew me to this path a long time ago was the concept of there was no bad guy. You know, all these people in the world talk about the devil consistently. Living in the little town I lived in Alabama, the old police chief got in trouble because when he was leaving and retiring, he put out this huge tirade one day that the reason the city had the problems that it had was because the city never accepted Jesus Christ as their savior. And the less we do with Jesus Christ, the more that Satan's going to prevail across the land.
And the devil
was loose in the town, and he couldn't rein it in because we refused to accept Jesus Christ. It was just off the wall. And like the comprehension of understanding people is just not there. And I don't want to say when you're that blinded by religion, but truly when you're that blinded by a faith that you can't see the reality around you, this is where problems arise. So with that said, what drew me to this was the idea that there was no devil. There's no bad person making me do bad things. If I do bad things, it's because I'm a bad person. And within being a bad person, it's not about being right or wrong. It's just about being you and understanding that you're going to lose Frith. You're going to lose your oath. And I'll touch on those in a few seconds, but you'll lose those things because you are a bad person, which then you'll end up going through life without the things that you should have had because of how you are, not because there's some evil deity or some evil spirit like guiding you through this concept of what you're doing wrong or what you're doing right. So when we talk about Frith, we talk about our dealings with each other. We talk about our dealings with the ancestors. We talk about our dealings with the gods. We talk about our dealings with the Einherjar, the little people, the whites, the fae, even nature itself.
I wanted to say, you know, sometimes even chaos in our own minds that we can't control can be something that it goes towards the actions that we do.
Right.
So when we talk about mental illness and things like that, mm-hmm. that's chaos in our minds that a lot of us can't control.
Right, exactly. And that's chaos. It's not somebody telling you to do something wrong. It's a lack of control over impulses. But
and emotions.
And emotions, right. So when I get down to Frith, Frith is really hard to explain, and it's a concept that is really big within our heathen world. I don't know how to say it this way and not say it without saying it almost rudely. The rumor mill within our faith is off the wall. If you do something bad to someone, everybody hears about it. And in a way that's good, in a way that's bad. You know, to recover from bad Frith is really hard. If you are known as an oathbreaker, i.e. a liar, or a person who tells half-truths or has done something to someone else and you lied about it, when that disseminates through the heathen world, you then become what's known as an oathbreaker, and your Frith is broken with your kin. The people that are supposed to accept you in, your whole faith is broken, basically. And it takes a while to get back from that.
Right. Well, let's explain kind of what Frith is. Frith is the community of heathens, whether it's yourself, your local community, the heathen community worldwide, nationally, whatever. Frith is basically your connection to others.
Right. And the concept of your connection to the others.
Right.
How you are viewed as a person. Frith is really hard to explain on the sense of life. Like, it's almost like love. How would you explain love? You really can't explain
and
love.
The different types of love. So right. There's different types of Frith. And you may not have perfect Frith with, you may not mesh totally with somebody,
right?
But you still have to deal with them in a way, and your Frith helps you along the way of dealing with that person.
Right, right. So, like, I'll give a case in point. My grandfather always told me when I pick a lawyer, you want a lawyer that is, and pardon the pun, it's an adult word, but the biggest a-hole you ever met. Because if he's an a-hole to you and treats you like dirt, imagine what he's going to do to the people that he's protecting you from. That is a concept of Frith. I mean, we all don't get along with certain people, but we need those people sometimes in business relationships. So we may not like that lawyer as a person, you know, as a friend, getting along with each other, because they're not... they're not the type of people we want to surround ourselves with. But in a business relationship, we're going to go ahead and still use them. That's a type of Frith. In the same token, a type of Frith is when you meet your longtime friend from the internet, you meet the first time, and you get to blow with them. That's your Frith as well. So it's really a hard thing to comprehend. It's a hard thing to explain. But... so that's the beginning portion. The oath is basically how people view you. My grandfather always said, a man pays his debts. A man always remembers when he owes somebody something. And he dies even. Which means he doesn't leave a bill behind. So if you do that, then you die neutral within this world. And that's kind of what you want. to be honest with you, with dealing with other people. You want to be neutral in the sense that they say, oh, he's never lied to me. I don't, you know, not believe him. So that's kind of your oath and stuff. And it's really hard to explain these concepts. But in our faith, we have the order and we have the chaos. We understand the need for chaos and we understand the need for order. Recently, I was talking to another Gothi, and we were talking about the need for trained people to be Gothi. And he had started a program. Actually, it was, what's the name of the place?
Northwoods Kindred.
Northwoods Kindred. They just started a program where they're going to have training. And check it out. It's really good training. And I was saying to them, you know, it's great for your kindred. You know, the problem I have with it is that it's, you know, so many people offer this stuff and we're not recognized from one place to another. I mean, I have, what, 4 certificates of being a Gothi?
Yeah.
4 certificates of being a Gothi from 4 different places. But what makes me a Gothi? Honestly, I mean, what makes me a Gothar is the concept of my kindred accepting me, my frith with other kindreds, being accepted by the heathen world as a Gothar. And they know that I know what I'm talking about. I mean, that's the bottom line. But we have no main recognition of that. So if you're coming with a piece of paper from this one place that I've never heard of, and it says that you're a Gothar, do I accept that? Do I decline it? Do I do this? Do I do that? And we talked about how today, you know, you could take a course online in 10 minutes and be a Gothar from places, as long as you pay them their money. And I'm not saying that Northwoods Kindred is making money from it. No way, shape, or form. I'm not saying that. What I said it was good for their kindred, what I meant was that they'll now have the training available for their people that they can produce true Gothar to go from there, split off and make other kins and kindreds that have trained people that know what they're doing. And that's the most important portion. That frith will travel with them then as they go on. And in doing that and explaining that to him, I gained a little more frith with him. And that's important in this world because that's the order that we're looking for, not the chaos. The problem is most people believe that our path is one of not being uniform. That people can
organized,
right? Because the organization is against what we stand for as heathens. And I don't believe that that's totally true. I believe that we shouldn't have a set way of doing a service, that we shouldn't have a set way of doing this, that there's not one set bloat that's appropriate for blank. That everybody has the right to make that bloat the way they want to make it, or to make that symbol the way they want to make it. So, but there is an order to it. I mean, there's a way to do it. There's a way to sacrifice. There's a way to call upon the gods. There's a way to ordain the space and have that space set aside to be sacred for our services. With all that said, that there is the beginning of the order and the chaos. Even though there's order within that space, the chaos is that the person doing the actual ceremony is able to do it the way that they want to do it, and no one can say whether that's right or wrong.
Right.
As long as they've been trained properly to do it. I mean, if you forget the sacrifice in the middle of a bloat,
what you can always add it at the end.
Yeah, you could always add it at the end, but if you don't have it at all, then what did you really do? You know what I mean? So with all that said, we have to look at all those things. So there's things that I talked about before in the Innen Garden and the Uten Garden. The Innen Garden, which is close to you, the Uten Garden, which is, you know, the things around you.
Farther away.
We don't have control over certain things, but we do have the ability to persuade them to what we want based on sacrifice and honoring and homage. And I'm not saying that we have the ability to make a hurricane do what we want it to do.
But we can prepare our household for the hurricane.
Exactly.
The bottled water, the canned foods, the gas, candles, things like that. We can prepare ourselves as much as we can for the chaos that's coming.
Right.
Same thing with like tornadoes. You can prepare yourself. You may not know exactly when it's going to come, but if you have a cellar, if you have a space, if you have this, you can prepare yourself to get through the chaos. And that's where order comes in as well.
Right. Yeah, we just got done celebrating the beginning of the new sun, of the new year, of the new beginning, the coming out of winter and coming out of the Darth time, the darkness. Our ancestors knew that every single year winter was coming.
And they'd start preparing
months and months and months. That's
coming.
Right.
You know, and stocking food, stocking grain, slaughtering animals to be prepared smoked. and preserved for that dark time that was coming.
Yep. We all knew that it was coming. The ancestors knew it's coming. The problem is they prepared for it. And yes, they had times where they were in starvation. And yes, they had times they were in, you know, the end of the end of the end. But if they did all their preparation properly, they were ready for that chaos that was coming. They understood that the darkness was coming, that the time of not growing and not being able to hunt was coming. So they knew that that was there. They prepared for it. They knew the chaos that would ensue. And most of our winter celebrations are for that chaos and understand that the chaos has passed us over once again. And we celebrate that chaos has passed us over. And we celebrate that we were able to prepare for that chaos and had the order and the idea to put this in place so that we wouldn't have to deal with blank.
Right, and that's what the harvest festivals are for and things like that. And honestly, almost all of our rituals and rites and celebrations go with that growing season and, you know, the preparation season and, you know, following that natural order of how the world works and, and what you do at each time of the year. And it kind of marks that time of the year.
Right. You know, the Mormons, one of the best things about the Mormons is they had this thing called provident living. And they believe that in provident living, as long as you grew food, hunted for food, prepared for that time of Darth, that you were set in what you needed to do so that when that darkness would come, when that time of uncertainty would come, you were already prepared for it. I mean, one of the things is they want you to have a year's worth of salary saved up.
A year's worth of food saved up.
They want you to grow your own garden. They want you to have your own animals like chickens and goats and stuff like that. So that if you need to, you can slaughter them and eat them. They want you to, you know, do anything that is, I don't want to say farm-based, but based in the concept of you getting your own food and not having
this self-sufficiency.
Self-sufficiency, right. Not having to worry about going to the grocery store to pick up some of this stuff. And if you are at the grocery store, buy extra, begin canning, begin freeze-drying, begin, you know, doing all the things you can do to save stuff up. And that's a really valuable lesson today because most people don't even have a month's worth of food, a week's worth of food in their refrigerator anymore. Like a lot of Europeans, they've gone to shopping for the day and having small refrigerators in these European kitchens because there's no need to stock up on anything, they think. So with all that said, the order and the chaos that we have in this world, our aspect of that comes because we know that our ancestors went through the same thing. And yes, it's a different time and it's a different style, but in all honesty, we know that the ancestors went through it. We know that we can honor them and pay homage to them and venerate them for the things that they went through that we ourselves are going through. Like this Easter, I mean, it's Easter now and all my friends are calling me complaining about the price of eggs, that they didn't get eggs this year because of the price. When I lived in Alabama, we had 12 chickens in our yard. I mean, we'd get a dozen eggs a day. You know,
we had ducks too.
And we had ducks as well, so we got a bunch of them too. When we lived in Florida, we had more eggs than we knew what to do with.
Oh, we were selling eggs.
Yeah, we were like, what, we only had 8 chickens.
Yeah, well, we were selling eggs because we couldn't eat them fast enough.
Yeah,
because
we couldn't eat them fast enough.
We had 4 ducks, and 3 of them were female and 1 was male, and we had, we
duck
didn't really
eggs.
Usually duck, eat the duck
yeah.
eggs. We ended up, we had the ducks because we like ducks.
Yeah.
But we ended up selling a bunch of duck eggs to people who would bake that were ecstatic to get duck eggs for less than $6 for 3 eggs.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah. And then we had these little Sarama chickens, which gave these real little eggs that people loved because they were like quail eggs.
Yeah.
And quail eggs were $23 a dozen
yeah,
at the time.
Something like that.
$23 a dozen. So these people were really ecstatic to get these eggs from us. With all that said, though, I mean, we were prepared for if a hurricane ever did come, we had food, we had meat. We had eggs. We had all this other stuff.
We had a garden growing.
Yeah, we had a garden growing where you could get fruits and vegetables from. It was really nice, and it was really a good thing to have. We don't have that anymore.
Unfortunately, we really can't have it where we live at the moment.
Right, and I'm working on that right now. I'm doing some buckets and stuff like that, so we'll figure out what we could do with that.
Well, I mean, as far as like the livestock goes,
yeah,
the chickens
we can't
and
livestock,
stuff, we can't
right.
really have chickens where we are. We have a lot of predators around here that... It just wouldn't work.
Right. With all that said, though, we'll go back to this question of good versus evil. A lot of times, I think this is the big focus of mainstream religions. And I don't want to say this is their control, but this really is their control. If they tell you something is evil, you instantaneously believe that. One of the things I'm going to go to right now is... And please, I'm not political in any way, shape, or form. But, like, the whole idea of transvestites reading books to children.
Drag queens
reading books to children in the library. I don't care. I mean, I don't want to say it that way. Yeah.
Who cares? It's somebody reading a book to a child.
So what? You know, the kid is into reading. So what? You know, and there's all this other stuff with like, what's going on with the beer Bud Light and everything like that. You know, honestly, I don't care. I mean, they had a dog spokesperson. Did I complain that they had a non-human spokesperson? No, because Spuds McKenzie was cool. You know what I mean? When they had the frogs, did I complain it wasn't a human? No, because the frogs were cool. Budweiser. Who cared? You know what I mean? That's the bottom line. You know, if it's good, it's good. If it's not, it's not. I mean, Geico has a gecko.
Right.
That's their spokesperson. And they had cavemen. You know, so what? We focus too heavily on good versus evil rather than order and chaos. And a lot of times, you know, people's houses aren't in order, yet they're complaining about the order of someone else's house.
Oh, my house is not in order.
Right.
I don't complain about anybody else's house.
You know what I'm saying, though, right? So we need to put our own house in order. We need to make sure that we are doing the things that we need to do. Are we honoring our ancestors? Are they truly looking at us and being proud of the things that we do? Are we honoring our gods? Are we venerating them? Are we venerating our ancestors? Are we venerating those who have fallen in battle to give us the things that we have today? With all that said, I think that, like I said, it's a control for those things to determine good versus evil and make you want to follow those things based on what they say. I don't know. Our world is a crazy place. It's full of a lot of things that I leave to fate. Unfortunately, fate's going to decide whether or not we have a hurricane next week and
right.
where it comes from, how strong it is, and whether or not I'm going to have electricity for 2 weeks or 3 weeks. You know what I mean? Or I'm not going to have electricity for 2 weeks or 3 weeks, you know? Will I have water in a couple weeks? I don't know, you know? But that's fate. Those are things that I can prepare for and make sure that I have everything set so that if I don't, I'm okay. And then on the other side of that is the things that I can control, which is my frith and my oath. And as long as those are good when I go and I go to the next place, I just want to be welcomed and honored in as a member of that kin. And that's all I look forward to. I mean, that's the honest to God truth. You know, the gods know what's going on. I leave my children with good intentions. They've learned to hunt. They've learned to fish. They've learned to garden. They've learned to grow livestock. They've learned all the things that they need. I've given them all the tools that when I'm put into the ground, I know that my children should not starve. If they starve, that's entirely up to them.
Excuse me, my allergies are acting up today.
But we taught them everything that they needed to know to do all those things.
We've taught them how to be self-sufficient.
Yep. Everything from growing bees to growing chickens to, you know, hunting and fishing and smoking meat and preparing meat for salting and all that other stuff. They know it all. Well, they should. They've been taught.
They know how to build.
They know how to build things, right? They know how to make soil from nothing.
Yeah.
You know, just from scraps in the yard, they know how to make a compost pile and begin to make soil. So I tried, you know, and that's all that I can do. It can only be...
And, you know, one of the big things they've been taught besides that is care and compassion for their fellow man.
Yep.
No matter what walk of life, no matter who they are, you love the person for themselves.
Not what they are, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's a big thing that we need to learn in our society today is compassion.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have enough. We just don't. We don't have enough compassion for others.
You know, one of the things that was said to me when I first learned about this faith was the gentleman that was giving the class on Asatru. You know, he's the first person that led me to the concept of we don't have any bad person in our faith. And you're a bad person because you're a bad person. You choose to be what you want to be. You know, he said, we feed the hungry because we know what it's like to be hungry. We clothe the cold because we understand what it's like to be cold. We do the things that we do for the people around us because we understand what they're going through. Not because something tells us we should love our fellow man, just because we are a human and we know what it's like to be through those experiences, within those experiences that we share, those are the experiences that unite us as a people. And it doesn't matter whether something's telling us we have to do that to be good or we shouldn't do that because we're bad. If someone's hungry and we feed them, it's because they're hungry. That's it. If someone's cold and we give them clothing, because they're cold, and that's it. There is no deeper sense in there other than you and I understanding what their dilemma is and us having been through that dilemma ourselves. So that's how we treat our fellow man. And those are the things that drew me to this faith. And later on, I learned that this is Frith. This is our oath. These are the things that work. And more, as I look at my path that I'm on, more and more, I see a really... I don't want to say excellent path. I see an excellent path for teaching people to love one another, period. You know, there is no big reward for me in doing that. None whatsoever. I do it just because the reward is me helping someone else. And that's all that matters. And
that's what I was going to say. Like, a lot of the people that we know and have been associated with, they think they're going to get this. If they're a good person, if they do the things that they're told to do in church, if they're told to do these things, if they'll get this huge reward of a golden house in the clouds.
Yeah.
You know, many mansions, whatever you want to say, you know, this huge reward at the end. But if you're going to, like, I would rather spend eternity with my family than in a house in the clouds.
Well, and, you know, my concept then always is, you know, it's great, but what does it matter if the street's made of gold when I gave all that up when I was on Earth? What does it matter that I have a mansion so big that I can't fit myself in all the rooms if I gave that up on Earth? The time that I could have used that to really enjoy it is gone.
Right.
Because now if everybody gets a mansion, what does it matter that I have a mansion? You know, if everybody's walking the streets of gold, what does it matter that I have a street of gold? You know what I mean? And not that I'm saying I want to hold it over anyone, but, you know, here on Earth, if I'd have millions of dollars, man, I'd be able to give so much to charity, it'd be unreal.
Right.
And that's honestly my thought. I don't have a thought for you know, what I would buy myself. I have a thought for how I would do old factories in giant cities and turn them into rooming houses for the homeless, where they can go in there and be warm and have a room for the night so that they're okay and can shower the next day in a, you know, private shower, and make a whole big hotel of an old factory for homeless people, especially in places like Chicago. You know, that we lose 25, 30 homeless people a year because of
the cold.
Or if you've been in New Orleans, you see all these dilapidated, old, huge,
beautiful
housing
homes.
Yeah, housing places that are dilapidated and old because of Katrina that they haven't fixed up. I'd love to put money into that and move the people from under the bridges to those. Give them their own place. Give them their own idea of this is mine. You know what I mean?
And help them become productive members of society again.
Yep.
You know, they're saying that the unemployment rate is so high, and this is so high, and that is so high. If we can help each other out to get to a better place.
Right. And that's, you know, that those are my honest thoughts when it comes to if I'd ever be a billionaire. That this is what I would be doing with my money. But with all that said, I mean, that comes from the idea of my faith. That comes from how I understand what it's like to be those people. So, with all that said, you know, don't look at good versus evil in our faith, because sometimes, you know, the story of Loki, and the best way they say it is in Padraig Colum's book, Children of Odin. Every time they mention Loki, they say the doer of both good and evil. All of his evil always works out for the good.
Right. He's never really evil, though.
Right.
He's a prankster. He's a trickster.
Right.
They never...
He's a class clown.
In stories, they never portray him as evil. Evil is a new concept for him. Going back to, like, the Marvel comics and stuff. That's a new concept for him to be evil. He's never been evil. He's never been truly evil. The evil in the stories... The gods aren't evil. It's the giants.
Right.
And they're not even, per se, evil. They're just trying
to... They just wanted to bring their world here and make it frosty, you know?
Or, like, Thrym.
Right.
With the whole, I want to marry Freya.
Right.
So this is how I'm going to do it.
Right.
He's not necessarily evil, per se. He's trying...
Just doesn't understand how to do it right.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And there's nobody in... And the gods that's truly 100% good, though, either. You know, that there's the time that the little boy ate the bone, or sucked the marrow out of the bone of Thor's goat, and Thor beat him.
Right.
You know, so the gods aren't necessarily 100% good. They're not 100% evil. There is no concept of that. Everybody's going to, like, Thor lost his temper. Everybody loses their temper at some point in time. Humans are not 100% good or 100% evil. They're really
a mix of the two.
Right.
Yep.
You know, so it's the everyday human. Let me put it that way. The everyday human is not 100% good or 100% evil. We've all done things in our past that are mistakes. We've all done things in our past that have made us better in somebody's eyes.
And look at what's come out of Loki's evil. It's been, you know, Gungnir. It's been... You know,
Mjolnir.
It's been the gauntlet that he wears, the belt that Thor wears, the ship that folds up. You know, all these things have come from his supposed evil. You know, not to mention all the things that the dwarfs made and the...
Right.
I can't think of the name right now. But anyway, all this good came from that evil, supposedly. And like we said, you know, it's not always evil. It's just
pranks. Like cutting off Sif's hair.
Right.
You know, did it really do her any harm? No, she couldn't grow her hair back, but he got her new hair that would grow. It was gold, it was beautiful, and it would grow. Just like real hair. But did he hurt her in any way? No, not really.
Her feelings.
Her feelings, but, you know, but did he physically hurt her in any way? No, not really.
No.
But what did we get out of that? We got Mjolnir. We got her hair. We've got Gungnir. We've got...
Sleipnir.
No, yeah.
Yeah, Sleipnir's from Loki, yes.
Well, not from that particular time,
yeah,
though. The boar. I can't remember his name. But the battle boar.
Yeah.
But we've got those gifts and the contest to see who got the best gift.
Right, right.
and which one was the best gift. But they're all good gifts because, you know, and Loki trying to stop the competition by becoming a fly to bite the ear of the dwarf that was making Mjolnir, so right. Mjolnir's handle is yeah. too short for both hands. But it became kind of an icon of, you know, well, it kind of works better with one hand anyway,
right.
you know? So it's, you know, it was really something that needed to be done for good to be done. It wasn't really something evil. It was just, I'm going to play a prank and now I have to pay for it.
Right, right. And also shows that flawed things are good. I mean, again, yeah. out of chaos comes order.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So with all that said, I want to thank you guys for joining us for this episode of Modern Heathen Man. It's a little long today.
A little rambly,
but I hope I portrayed what I want to say in the sense that how we look at good and evil and how good and evil is portrayed within our faith and how it works. So with all that said, I want to hail you for wanting to be a better heathen. I want to hail the gods today for the wonderful day they've given us today. It's really nice.
It's beautiful out today.
Yep. So I want to thank you all. I want to hope that you all had a great Sigrebolt and you did something great for the new sun that we ventured into our new year. So with all that said, I want to thank you for joining me from Modern Heathen Man and Kelly.
Thank you so much.
And you have a great day.
Bye-bye.